Okay. We'll try this again. I just reset everything. So if I broke the internet.
The natty thing, not at all. Wow.
That's right. But Camille.
Is this still looking good? I think Esmeralda accidentally kicked that camera over there. Is that all still looking good?
So they can both go down a little bit, but basically, yes. And this is the way it's going to display.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'll take it.
What is that? Where is that coming from? We've got some post in our shot. I don't see it. Oh, that's me.
When I came here,
totally different.
Ah, right there. Okay. Are we up and running? I think we're ready to start. Give me one second. Okay, that's all working. We should be online. So this is going out live now. Hi, world. If anybody's paying any attention, we're here. We're here.
How about Scott?
Oh, I would take a top beer up there. Coffee, the lifeblood. Thank you. Okay, and I have one last thing to do, and I'll be ready to go. It'll take just a moment. Boy, we are having, if anybody's out there listening right now, we're having an internet problem.
Bob, did they get cold?
Streaming live audio from our site or live video.
Because when I ordered, with lots of caliente. Otherwise, they bring it in a cold dish.
Yeah, it's sat out there for a while.
We're getting intermittent connections to the YouTube server. So this is just the way it's going to be. And if I have to upload this, I will. As long as we're saving. I don't see it saving and recording. Oh. Okay. As long as it's recording, we're fine.
Oh, it says shock.
Are you guys ready to start? Is everybody ready to start? This is the San Carlos Computer Club. I am Scott Stimson, having technical difficulties, but we are going to push through them and move forward. We meet every Tuesday here at Tequila's. It's nice to see everybody came out, even though it looks like crappy weather outside. We get together every Tuesday here at Tequila's and try and solve the world's tech problems. We live in a very small world of San Carlos. I, as always, I've brought a list of topics, and there are some things that I want to get right off the list. There is an amazing topic that I think all of you may be interested in, that my wife has turned me on to, and she has started doing this as another part of her business. Apparently, seniors that are permanent residents qualify for a discount card, specifically on things like their property taxes. Russ, did you want to say something?
You're one of those.
And so she has figured out how to jump through these hoops, and she has been helping both Mexicans and gringos that are permanent residents to go down to the government offices and apply for these discount cards. So if you haven't heard about these before, you can find out about them through her at our office. But is that enough? Are you guys interested in having her come in and talk about how to do this?
Is that the Ensign card?
This is a discount card for permanent residents that are seniors. It's a senior citizen card for Mexico.
Not Ensign.
Say that again?
Not Ensign.
I don't know what Ensign is.
Ensign gives you discounts as a senior, permanent resident.
It could be. I don't know what it's called.
But I'd be interested in her coming and talking about her business as well.
Yeah, because she also helps people with their immigration status and doing their paperwork. And I was just wondering, if you guys thought that was something that you wanted, I could invite her to come talk to us about it.
Well, I got the card years ago.
You did?
Never, ever was able to get in kind of this.
Well, that's the reason she should come in and talk to us about how it works, because she says that, I mean, things like the property tax, for instance, if you want the property tax discount, they can't give it to you here. You have to go into Wymas, and you have to go into Wymas with your card to get the property tax discount.
They'll argue with your permit. You have to be a citizen.
See, you need to have her come in and explain, because that's not true according to her. Yeah, if you're a permanent.
I've had the card for 3 years, and we went down with a Mexican to Wymas, and they will not give it to a non-citizen.
He's talking about the Ensign card. You don't know anything about.
I don't know if that's the card she's talking about or not, but what she's talking about is for permanent residents that are seniors, as well as Mexicans. Yeah, permanentes. That's right. If you're a temporary, you don't qualify, but if you're a permanente, you qualify. The same way in the States, if you had a green card, you're a resident, you would qualify for services from the United States. It's the same kind of deal. Now, I only know these topics vaguely, and so my question is, should I invite her to come talk to us about this stuff? Okay.
We need to be told many times.
Well, and we can hit her with a bunch of immigration questions, too. I mean, the difference between temporary and permanent and the changes that have been made. And so she's a good one to pick her brain. Okay, so I'll talk to her about a date. And would any time work, or should we pick a date and then announce it ahead of time? That's what we'll do, is I'll get her to pick a date, and then I'll...
We'll be doing a meeting.
Yeah.
It'll be on a Tuesday.
It'll definitely be on a Tuesday. It'd be in lieu of our standard meeting. We'd invite her in as a special guest just to talk to us about this stuff.
Or you can tell Jan Rain about it.
Yeah, exactly, for that Thursday educational thing.
Yeah.
She could do that Thursday deal.
Well, that's a good idea.
No, do it Tuesday. Do it Tuesday, well, small group.
Do it both.
Well, let's do it both.
Do both.
Because it could be that she would feel obligated to put together a formal presentation for Jan's education stuff.
Would, yeah.
Whereas here she'd probably feel more comfortable just come in and talk off the cuff.
Well, also we would ask the questions that she could put into the answers into her next one.
That's a great thought. Yeah, she would be able to build up that material so that she could have a formal presentation.
Ask about CyberCo as well.
Yeah, and that's the other thing is we're still interested in having CyberCo come in and talk about their services, right? So I just need somebody to contact me or Bob, if you've got the contact to talk to, I'll talk to them and we'll do the same thing. We'll get them to commit to a date and then we'll announce it beforehand. So it's not going to happen next week.
Okay.
Because we'll have a date beforehand and
I'll do it the week after. I won't be here.
When are you back, Russ?
I'm going to be on that
Okay. All right. So, so any of these things, we'll think they're more than 2 weeks out, and I'll give you a date on one of them next week.
Yeah.
Sound good?
Sure.
Okay. That was Het. CyberCo special guest. If you haven't looked on the website, I have organized all the recordings of special guests into a specific group. So if you're looking for Marcos Cruz's talk on solar, you can now easily find it from the front page. There's just a column down the side of all the special guests. Yuya's original special guest back in 2013, I couldn't believe it was 6 years ago was the last time she came and told us. You know, 6 years ago is when we switched from FM3s and FM2s to permanente and tempora, and that's why she came in and talked to us last time. And then some other stuff is there too. Other guests that we've had come in and talk to us. The Horizons recording is there if you want to hear about their smart home stuff. So look at the website, sccclub.org, and you can find that stuff. I've revamped it, and it's easier to find that kind of stuff. I have got two other topics that I think are pretty interesting. My daughter, Viviana, the 11-year-old, has come up with another topic she thought you guys would appreciate. This is an idea that stemmed from... I don't know if you've ever done this. This is a thing that was really popular. Going to a Google search and typing in common phrases such as how to, or why am I, or right, or all my friends are, and seeing what the suggested searches come up. It's a great source of entertainment. If you've never done it, think of one of the most unusual question formings you can think of, and then find out what the world is asking.
It hurts when I...
Yeah. I have a burning sensation in... So I was describing this to my 11-year-old, and she was nodding, and she's like, "Do you know Google Feud?" And I'm like, "What is Google Feud?" She's like, "Oh, go to Google Feud. You go to googlefeud.com, and they have taken this concept, and what they've made a game out of it. And so they present you with a page, and you choose whether you're asking about people or culture or movies. They've got predetermined categories, and you click the button, and it presents you with a question like "How do I?" or "What city is?" And you have to guess in Family Feud fashion what the majority of people are asking for. And so it's a series of rounds that you go through. Yeah,
F-U-D-E?
Feud, like Family Feud. It is based on the Family Feud game show.
Yeah.
The way that it poses these right. phrases, and you have to come up with what people are Googling. So we found, I don't know, a half hour, an hour of entertainment just going through that, going to googlefeud.com and letting it ask us, "How do I?" or "I have a burning sensation when..." And you have to come up with what people are Googling.
And how old is she?
11.
That's way too advanced for me.
Yeah. I'm like, you did it again. You came up with a computer club topic.
Yeah. She's
so,
she's going to be hosting soon.
Right? I'll have her in as a guest speaker at some point.
She can teach us stuff. Yeah.
I couldn't believe how entertaining. I'd never heard of it before. I'm telling her about this ad hoc hacking way of entertaining yourself. She's like, "Oh, you got to check out Google Feud."
Cool.
Did you just type in Feud?
googlefeud.com is the website.
Yeah,
and it's very straightforward. They just they show a series of rounds that you're going to run through, and then they give you some predetermined categories you're picking from, and then it starts suggesting these. How do you complete this sentence? How would people on the internet complete this sentence? And it's pretty hard, actually.
Yeah.
Well, and what's interesting is it has the potential of changing at the moment. Like if you're asking about a celebrity, or if they're asking about celebrity news, well, whatever happened today is going to affect those results versus last week.
Well, they may base it on the answers that they receive, too.
Say that again?
They may base it on the answers.
The answers they receive? Maybe. Right. Maybe. Yeah, I mean, I think there's the potential of that.
Build a database for you.
Data mining.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right about that. If anything we've learned from the events in the last year is that Google Feud is data mining. That's where they're making their money, is finding out how you would answer those questions, whether that's the way people are posing questions or not. They're keeping track of
it, sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
F-U-G.
F-U-E-D? Feud?
F-E-U-D.
F-E-U-D.
Yeah. Google Feud. I'll put a link on it in the post for this. And I'm going to hit one more topic. I got some other topics, but I'm going to hit one more topic before I ask you guys for topics. Because I felt this was relevant enough to bring it up. And I'm going to say the word Cody. And I know nobody's using Cody except for Jim, me, and somebody, and Ed, who's not here right now. But I think that this topic is significant regardless of the software, because Sid and I went through this just recently. And this is this topic that is it has to do with the Windows Store. And I don't know if you guys have spent much time getting your programs out of the Windows Store. It certainly is not as popular as the Google Play Store for the Android. But it really has become a much more robust place. And actually a good example now is iTunes. If you use iTunes, you have to get it from the Microsoft Store if you are a Windows computer. You cannot get that from Apple any longer. You have to go to the Microsoft Store to download at least your very first copy of iTunes. And so this is, the iTunes is just an example of how you're going to end up, if you're a Windows user, you're going to interact with the store at some point. That's a very significant piece of software to only be able to get out of the store. Now I'm going back to Kodi. Sid's installation of Kodi, I wasn't aware that we had done it over the summer, but we had installed it through the Windows Store. What happened to Sid is when he was coming down here, he uses Kodi as his entertainment center. And so he closed everything up from Alaska, traveled down here, set up everything. He got. When did you come in? Was it the second that you came in?
First.
The first. The first is when he arrived. Set up everything on my internet, turned on his computer, finally was going to relax, turns on Kodi. It's completely blank. However, he's got the latest version of Kodi. He's got Kodi 18. That's the latest version. He didn't install it. The Microsoft Store installed it for him. Now, what has happened, it took me some research to find out, but the Kodi developers changed the type of release in between the last version of Kodi that they put in the store and this version of Kodi. The store has some very rigid policies on what kind of software you can put in it. It's called Universal Windows Programs, UWP Programs. And the idea of this structure is that you're building applications that can dynamically change based on what kind of device you're using. So the same, the best example of this is something like a Photoshop or an Office, where it is a full-blown, all the tools lay out on a desktop environment, but you bring it down to a 10-inch screen on a tablet, and you want more of a tablet experience. A UWP, and I'm not saying they're there yet, but the idea of the UWP is that that experience tailors itself without you installing any different application. It's the exact same software. It just has a different experience. Maybe you've got like a 13-inch laptop where you can pop the screen off and turn it in a portrait style. You would expect the tools of your application to convert to a portrait presentation and finger hotspots. You would expect it just to appear that way so that you don't miss a beat. You just, all that changes with your environment. And so that's what UWP is all about. And they stuck those stipulations on Kodi for their following release. And when they did that, Microsoft is dictating where the settings for that program has to be put. Their original Kodi release was basically their standard Kodi program wrapped in a shell of Windows Store. And in the time that they released that to now, they've made it so rigid that you can't do that any longer. So they had to release their UWP version of Kodi. And that stores all your settings in a completely different location. Now, I'm not sharing this because you guys all use Kodi and you're going to be upset by this.
There's
but
like three people that are using it.
That's right. I'm sharing it because this is a potential problem for any program that you've been using that come from the Windows Store if their developers haven't kept this in mind. Kodi should have probably started with a release that would not install automatically, that would require some user interaction, at least a message that would say, if this installs, you're going to lose all your settings. Yeah. Instead, the user experience for Sid was he opened up his program and nothing. Everything was gone. It's not very clear where everything is. Right? I mean, it took me going out and researching this problem to find out, okay, we've still got the settings. The settings are in his computer.
Somewhere.
So, yeah, somewhere. And we will be able to, oh, and for the three, well, the four of us now, because Sid's sitting here too, and Ed's not here. So it's three of us today, but it's four of us in total. The fix for this problem is to install the release you can get off their website. That would bring back
like the original.
Yeah, because yeah. It's in the original location. They didn't have to remove the settings. What happened with Sid is they Sid didn't do it. Microsoft Store did it. They installed Kodi with the new situation and just ignored all his settings in the other location.
So you're gonna tell us what Kodi is?
Yeah. That was
my
question.
Yeah. It would not be fair for me to use a lot of Kodi time, a lot of time here on Kodi.
I just want to know what it is.
It's a program.
Do I want it?
Yeah. Well, it's a platform for media distribution. So that it's a platform that they build software for, so that you can find video, TV, and movie files out there and be able to watch them. It's a framework for an entertainment center.
It's like a mining center.
Well, that's what it's really worked for. Is it brings together the synopsis, like you would find in a Netflix or an Amazon Prime, with the ability to find those video files out there on the internet through a variety of questionable servers.
And legal ones,
yeah. Right. It brings together legitimate and questionable services into one package so that you can see those videos that are out there on the internet without necessarily having to pay for anything. And so it's very a hobbyist platform right now. I feel really guilty trying to put a novice into it because at any given moment it's more effective than not.
Then don't.
Yeah. I've gone through long periods of time with problems with it and then had those problems resolved. I think Jim has resorted to paying for a file sharing service called Real Debris. For that. It's very inexpensive, and it probably 200% more effective at finding and enjoying content by being a member of that file sharing network.
It makes it quicker and easier.
Yeah, because what Real Debris is really a file sharing network of files. The majority of it is video files. And what you're doing, you're paying for access to it. And it seemed pretty reasonable. It seemed like if you bought it in 15-day increments, it costs about a dollar. What is it? A dollar a day?
Maybe, yeah. About 6 months of their time.
You've lost it.
I buy their maximum.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I should have written it down. I didn't know what I was going to be talking about because I looked at the pricing for it. It's not a dollar a day because I would think that was very unreasonable. That's a lot. But it does seem like it was $15 a month or 3 months, 6 months.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think it was $15 for 6 months. Well, I'll have to look at it again and get some real pricing on it.
You've lost us.
Well, I told you I didn't want to waste a lot of time on it in the first place.
So is it KODI?
KODI, that's right. Yeah. And what makes it functional is the plugins that you install into it. And that's where it gets really odd, is it's almost an operating system in itself. And the plugins are really people, or plugins or add-ons, they're the applications that developers are making for the platform.
So what other subjects do you have?
You do realize, Bob, this was not a Kodi subject. This was a Microsoft Store subject. Okay? Kodi's the example. The store is the thing that's frustrating. I do have other topics, but I would invite other questions and topics at this point. Jim?
And it's not Kodi.
Okay, good. Good, because you're bothering Bob.
Did anybody, has anybody noticed any throttling on your Telmex lines? Them backing off on your speed at night?
That's interesting.
You have?
I had it a couple of years ago, and I got it again now, like around 4 or 5 o'clock at night, and slowed down.
I'm between 6 and 7. I go from 30 megs down to 12.
No sé.
And they came out and they checked everything. They found a short, which
pero hay problemas
some
de
of the
internet.
Fluctuation I had.
Hay problemas
still,
de internet
between 6 and 7 o'clock.
En este conexión.
I'm down at 12, I no sometimes sé. 10.
No
sometimes
sé, pero
15.
Estoy monitorándolo y
it's
está
there.
Muy feo.
And
la
I
conexión está
below,
arriba y abajo, arriba.
I've got everything disconnected in the house.
Si no es eso,
no,
creo que es.
And the guy asked me
es la enlace.
You sure you don't have any other computers on?
Tal vez
there's no
sí.
Wi-Fi on or anything.
Voy a checar mejor después la junta y
so,
podamos...
I believe they're throttling us here in San Carlos.
Sí, está conectando, pero no está funcionando bien.
I haven't noticed it, but that is a popular time for a lot of people to be online.
Yeah, but DSL, it doesn't slow down.
Yeah, it shouldn't
slow
be
down,
slowing down.
No.
Yeah.
It's about the possibility
and
that when school's out, you have a tremendous number of students that are on the Internet, therefore using up bandwidth.
Well, let's... I mean, that was a correct way of thinking a while back, and let's make clear that that is very possible if you're doing cable internet, just because of the nature of cable internet. You could have your neighbors jump on the internet all at the same time, but it would be your neighbors because it's your leg of internet that's slowed down. Not the internet in general, but it's that leg you're on that slows down because your neighbors are using it because of the very nature of how cable internet works. The DSL connections from Telmex should not be functioning that way. And what that would mean is that at their center, they have not created enough bandwidth. Like, there is not enough bandwidth between San Carlos and Guaymas for all the people that are using it at that moment. And I don't think that's the case. I mean, we've got fiber optics running between the two municipalities. Well, they're not two. Within the municipality. Between the two areas. And so I don't think that that's I don't think that's a valid problem. I think that's probably what we're more likely to be dealing with is new connections in your area, a switch that can't handle so many connections, failing switches like in this kind of weather. It's not uncommon for switches to have problems because of climate. You've got humidity, you've got temperature changes, and that affects connections. You have to report your problems. Jim's been reporting for 2 weeks now this problem.
Yes, and if you report it during the day, the guy goes, well, report it at night when it happens. Because I'm
right.
Rock solid at 30.
Yeah, what,
the guys
what
at comes? Night, who do you think they put at night? The
right.
Smart ones are there in the day.
Right.
Every night guy doesn't even know what he's talking about.
So let's avoid all of that. And let me give you the phraseology. When you're reporting Telmex, all you want to ask for is, could you verify my speed and my contract? I want to know if I'm getting what's contracted. Right? You don't get them focusing on solving your technical problem. Get them focusing on your contract.
Right.
Right? And then they'll be looking at it and they'll be going, oh, well, that's strange. You should be synchronizing it at this higher rate than you're synchronizing at. Let me put in a work order to find out and they might ask you some things like, do you have other phones in the house or do you, just say no.
Nope.
Say, this is the only thing that's connected. This started happening 2 or 3 days ago. Yeah, I, in fact, I actually, now that I say that, I'd stay away from the 2 or 3 days ago. I just noticed that I'm trying to decide whether I'm getting what I paid for. That's really what I want to. I want to know if I'm getting what I paid for, and I might want to just downgrade my.
Well, during the day, you do.
Well, you could do it at night, because
you don't get it at night. I get the same upload.
No, I'm saying you're saying report it at night. I'm saying do the same kind of report. Say, I want to verify my contract.
I do. Yeah. I have. Because you're getting your maximum speed to there. I don't know why you're getting such a lower speed. I can see you've had all these work orders and people have come out. And the guy night before last, asked me if there was any other computers running.
Right.
In the house.
Sure.
You're already on the complaint list.
Yeah. Oh, the whiner from the Rancheros.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the frustrating thing is if they decide that they're not going to deal with whatever the issue is in your area, and you just have to go, well, then I'm going to downgrade my account.
I was asking.
Yeah.
And he's having the problem, too.
Yeah.
And his speed's getting cut in half.
Well, I went ahead and bumped my speed through a phone call over the weekend.
Yeah.
Because Sid's visiting kids, and Yuya and myself are using more internet than ever before. We were on the 10 megabit plan. Well, I call and find out, oh yeah, you can go up to 20 for an additional 40 pesos a month.
Who'd you call?
Telmex.
Yeah. Telmex.
Yeah, I just called their 800 number. Yeah.
You can do it online too.
Yeah. And so I will be calling today to tell them that it's not giving that speed that they said they were going to give me.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens with it, because it will be my first service call. I know you've got a dozen service calls, but it'll be my first service call. And we'll see what happens. Maybe my switch affects your switch. Maybe they'll fix it because they're getting enough complaints in the area. Because what I do know is my switch is supposed to go up to 20 for me, because that's what the tech told me last time he was out. Is, oh yeah, you could take advantage of that 20.
Well, you can look inside your modem too and see what your line resistance is.
Mm-hmm.
On them.
Actually, I did.
Over 10.
And it's synchronizing at 15, but we're not getting more than 10. We're getting like 10.2. So, and I asked him on the phone. I'm saying, so what am I expecting? 10 with a potential 20. He's like, no, you're getting a 15 with a potential of 20. I'm like, great, good to know. Because I probably wouldn't have reported it. Now I'm going to. So we'll see what happens with that.
And
so,
your real debit cost you... Here it is. 16 euros for 6 months.
Yeah, so what did that work out to? Like 15 bucks?
Oh, no, I just found it. You've got a calculator. Yeah,
here. Let's ask Cortana while it still exists.
Where did we get into euros?
Talking about the real Deborah, or real debris.
Oh,
and I'm an idiot turning on Cortana while we're having internet problems in here, because it's not going anywhere. I'm going to try again here. Let's see what happens. How many dollars is 6 euros?
16.
How many dollars is 16 euros?
18.
Try again.
19.
Love technology.
Ask you why the internet's so slow. Ask you why the internet's so slow.
Yeah. Excuse me, Cortana?
I had something interesting.
Okay.
We don't care, Bob.
Okay. Then I'll forget. It's
okay. No, please share. Please share. I think I'm done with my topics.
My so daughter.
Telcel. We talked about it last week a little bit. And there was a pretty good exchange out of Venus and Carlos right after that.
It's
1825.
Oh, yeah. And just a little thing here. I typed into the search bar that I was trying to use, Cortana. I said, how much is 16 euros without a space? And the Windows 10 searcher brought up Bing's currency changer right beside it.
I'll be done.
It's beautiful, though. How much is 16 euros? Bam! It opens up this window right beside it that says 16 euros. Under it says U.S. dollars, and I can change it right from the search result in Windows 10. I don't have to go to a web browser or anything. It's the first time I've seen that. So that's pretty awesome. Go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry for interrupting you.
Compare Telcel and Telmex in terms of Wi-Fi. It sounded like Telcel was the way to go. There was an exchange of Viva San Carlos a day or two later that one of the contributors said, you know, you could end up with big-time roaming charges using the Telcel as your hotspot.
Because the contract with Telcel is not an unlimited contract. Because you have...
So it could have cost you... It might be... You don't have the repair problems you have with Telmex, but it's going to cost you a lot more over time if you use your internet a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
So and if you're watching a movie or two...
You actually have to be careful using a hotspot, a cell phone hotspot like that, because LTE will let your connections go up to 100, 150 megabits a second. So you could be watching 4K video without even knowing it across your cell phone plan and whittle that away in a day.
It's not quite the dream that everybody thought it was last week.
Well, if this is it TCS or TSC? Is it
TCS
Networks. They are located right here. They've got an office right here in San Carlos. They've got an antenna on H Street. And if you don't know, H Street is the road to Loma del Mar. They are broadcasting. They're bringing down four satellite channels, and they're distributing it in four different directions to arrange.
Is this out of Hermosillo?
Yes. This is the one we've talked about before.
Okay.
And, Mike, I don't think you can get it. Because you are behind that rock.
That rock.
Yeah.
And if you're just offset a bit, if you were like near the athletics club, you could probably get it. But I bet you couldn't get it where you're located because of that rock. I was up on Maggie's roof with these guys, and I was talking to them about where their line of sight is, where their antenna is located. And they were having problems dialing in Maggie's connection, and they were ready to go back to their office and move it just a hair to bring her more in the coverage area. Oh. So they will work really hard to try and get you on their service. It seems like a reasonable price if you're in an area that gets lousy internet. They're doing 10, 15, 20. They said they'll go up to 30, but they don't have that on their flyer.
And they're unlimited, too.
And they're unlimited.
Where's the office?
They did not give me. I think it's on H Street as well. I've seen their truck.
It's on the way. It's in the Ranchitos.
No, it's on the road to Loma del Mar.
Okay.
Yeah, and I've seen their truck parked outside of a building, like across the street from that Tecate store, somewhere in that area.
Yeah.
And so I think maybe that's the office.
Right at that intersection.
Yeah, right in that area. I think that's what they're using as an office, but I don't think they have any signage. That was the first time I was aware of that was when I saw their truck there, and then I talked to them later when I was over at Maggie's place, and they told me they had an office over there. So I don't think it'll be clear where their office is unless they're parked out front of it. But they're easy guys to work with.
I asked them about TV service. And they said they would install an HD dish for DirecTV for 5,000 pesos and then 750 a month.
Pardon me.
Which I don't need it.
So is that, are they like distributors of Dish TV as well? Is that what's going on?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I thought it was DirecTV. I said thanks, but no thanks.
Should I tell about the...
I can't answer that question.
Okay.
Maybe, maybe not.
Yesterday, my wife was sitting with her iPad, and my daughter called from the Congo, and she had her iPad in front of her. This is a place that has no. All they have is towers. They don't have wires all over, other than electrical wires, and this is the capital of a country that I've never heard of. They've changed the name, but she happened to be in the capital, and the picture was just like you were next door. It was just amazing to me, and the communication was just outstanding. in the middle of Africa.
Wow. That's impressive.
But they, everything is done with towers.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, what happens if they don't have a tower like in China, they say, in the rural areas? In the rural areas, they don't have the same communication that they have in the big cities. And I wonder what to expect here.
Well, you know, in countries like Africa, they have gone, and Mexico is a good example too. Their cell service typically is ahead of our cell service in the United States because they don't invest in infrastructure; they invest in towers.
Yeah.
It's cheaper, and so they.
And faster.
Yeah, cheaper and faster, and it'll be interesting to see what happens in that respect. I don't think 5G will quickly come to these areas. Because 5G, by its very nature, requires a closer proximity. So you can't do 5G from towers. You have to do 5G from street corners. Oh. Right? And the only way you can do street corner, that last mile connections, is to have infrastructure there first. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens if they're able to bring it down from a tower and distribute it. I mean, they'd really be looking at cell connections to towers and then 5G to your office or home.
By wire?
No, it'd be like wireless to wireless.
Yeah, okay.
And the reason you'd do it that way would be simply to offer a 5G connection. It wouldn't be because it would be a faster or more robust connection. So it'd be because we've got a whole market of 5G phones being sold. There's
going to be less cost for infrastructure as well, right?
Say that again, Mike.
The infrastructure would cost you less because you're not running wires.
Well, that's my point, is I don't see how you do 5G without running wires.
Yeah. Oh,
the only way I see you being able to do it is wireless to wireless, and if you do that, then you're losing out on that bandwidth. Right? You're going back to what we currently have for cell bandwidth.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely doable. Like I said, LTE will give us speeds up to... I'm not sick. I drank a veggie smoothie this morning, and I've got pieces of cucumber stuck in my throat. And it, I'm really regretting it at the moment because I can't stop coughing.
So what's the difference between the street corners that you talk about? You separate street corners versus towers.
Right. Just as a metaphor for what we're talking about, because 5G requires closer distance from your data source and your consumption.
Right.
So what that means is that whatever's broadcasting 5G needs to be plugged into infrastructure. So now I can envision being able to get 5G speeds and using a tower, but what they have to do is section off more bandwidth so they have less available in general. They isolate more speed to these 5G connections. I'll just do a quick analogy. If you had like 10 phones connected to a cell tower and you wanted to have 5G connectivity coming from that cell tower, maybe you would have to limit it to 5 connections instead of 10 connections, because they want to guarantee those 5G speeds at the end, at that last mile. And they're not able to do that if they've saturated their tower with all these other connections. So they would have to limit the amount of connections that tower could give, meaning that the tower infrastructure would have to be updated at the same time as 5G's being. I'm speculating all this because I haven't heard of anyone talking about 5G in any form but at the end of some fast cable.
So really, then every intersection that you have a small tower.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, if
that's what you have, right?
Yeah, I guess you could. I would avoid calling it a tower because I think that's. I mean, the space, the distance between you and a 5G connection is going to have to be so much closer than it is right now. I mean, we're getting.
So it only works from cities then, right?
That's the way I hear it. I think the cities are going to get it first, and you're not going to have like a 5G access point on the corner of a building. You're going to have like 5G access points going up the building, like every 10 stories. for every 15 stories. There's going to be a 5G access point on each corner of those buildings going up 5 stories or 10 stories or 15. From the what I read about 5G, I don't see any way they can do it without approaching it in that manner. So it's an amazing installation and infrastructure problem that they're just beginning to get into.
So maybe 6G will come out shortly.
Well,
never mind.
I wouldn't be surprised. This kind of stuff, they sit down and they hammer out these kinds of standards long before they start implementing them. So I would be surprised if there is a 6G standard out there they're working on right now.
What does G stand for?
Generation. Yeah, and that's why it gets very convoluted. Like, AT&T is playing this stupid game right now where they're updating software in phones like the Samsung or the LG so that the graphic on your screen says 5GE. And that's not a true fifth generation thing. That's just a marketing thing that they're doing.
What about HD? Is the same theory applied there?
Say that again?
HD. You always get HD when it says HD?
You're talking about like HD TV signals?
TVs.
Yeah, we could probably get deep into that topic because your TV can accept HD. And your source, you can ask it to be HD, but then it could be limited by the capacity that's bringing it to your source.
Right. It says HD, that doesn't mean anything to you. To somebody, it probably does, but to you, if you don't have the right equipment.
That's right.
Right. Yeah,
if you don't have the right equipment, you don't have the right connection, then it doesn't matter if this is HD. That's not necessarily
the
case.
TV is saying that you have to have that type of receiver.
Yes.
Starting, what, in April, I think it was?
If you're going to receive HD.
Yeah.
There are parallels to the word organic.
Say that again?
There are parallels to the grocery word organic.
Right.
Absolutely.
No, you're absolutely right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's exact. Well, and they've tried, the big cell industries have tried to obscure this topic all the way through each generation. They've tried to obscure our understanding of what's going on. There's always been a set standard for speeds but the way they do it, they don't necessarily specify the technology. Yeah. So if you can come up with a scheme that gives you close to within those parameters of speeds, then you can call it that generation. Yeah. And that's what's made it so convoluted.
Is there a set rate for roaming charge, or do they just charge whatever the hell they feel like?
Nobody regulates it that I'm aware of.
Yeah, it seems like the industry regulates itself by having some sort of competition.
Right.
And
so it doesn't say. Mine, every once in a while, I'm looking at something, and it says, if you do this, you'll be on roaming charges, which costs you more.
Yeah,
they don't tell me how much the more is.
No. That's right.
They don't say per minute or per hour or anything.
Well, when I get close to my limit, it says for $20 you can get another gig on AT&T for roaming.
I was going to say that really has to be a carrier implemented.
Well, they do that for my jetpack, too. I use a jetpack back home.
Yeah. One of those cell phone Wi-Fi hotspots.
Yeah, it's a cell phone.
Yeah.
It's a hotspot. But you can buy extra.
Extra.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you're using a lot of internet, you probably want to have to do that. Because
right.
Otherwise, it slows down. I can't remember what speed it is and what speed it goes to. You can still get the internet, but it's at a slower speed.
That's right. They just dial it down they dial it down to 2001. So you're able to surf web pages and check your email.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Well, I have this ISP.com that sends my emails and all that stuff, you know. And they inform me. It normally used to cost me $5 a month.
Okay.
They informed me the other day that they're increasing their rate to 10. How many places go 100% increase?
Right, mostly just because they can.
I know. What are you going to do?
My Netflix just went up by $3 or something.
Yeah, I think they sent a thing telling me it was going to do that, too. Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what happens, because I think that what they're doing right now is they're gearing up so that they're in a position to give discounts when they're competing against Disney. I think they're getting us all adjusted. They're bringing us up slow. Well, it's just a couple more dollars, and I love Netflix. I'm just going to stay with it.
Yeah.
And so they're hoping they can maintain their whole user base. And when Disney puts out their, which will happen before the end of this year, Disney will have a much, much more competitive product than Netflix does. I think Netflix right now is scrambling for their position. And I think this is part of it, is they're getting, it's like warming the frog, right? We're just making sure that we're all right there. We're paying this price. Disney's going to come out $10 a month and be like, ooh, I'm switching over to them. And Netflix is going to go, hey, we're going to drop yours for the next 6 months.
Right.
Well, maybe I'll stay with Netflix.
Yeah.
It's they're going to give you a discount from, you know, it's kind of like the administration right now. They're going to solve us from a problem they started. Anyway, not political club. anything else? I do have other topics. I'm happy to take other questions. So anybody come in with anything new they were interested in talking about?
Just one question.
Sure.
So you said TCS is working on doing the proxy, DNS?
Yeah, I left it in their head. I made it clear to them that they have a huge market of people here looking for alternative internet. But the stipulation is they got to be able to behave as though they're in the United States. They have to be able to get U.S. Netflix.
Right.
You have to be able to do Prime Video. You have to be able to do things like banking and stuff like that. And I pointed out to them one of the tools that's used the most is a smart DNS these days. But if they came up with any tool that would do these things for their customers, they can just go, hey, we've got this alternate and we've got this solution, and you would have lots of market shares here to gobble up.
So they have a VPN to their system?
If it works. And that's what I mean. They were out on Maggie's roof for 2-3 hours playing around with this idea of getting dialed in. And the longer they were there and the more I talked to him about this, it became clear it wasn't clear whether Smart DNS was going to work across it. That being the only reason Maggie wants it. So, well, if you guys aren't certain this is going to work, and we've seen Christine's problem where it's not working, then she's only interested in this if it's going to work. And they were going to go back to their office, get up on their tower, and start adjusting, trying to bring this connection in. We made it very clear, you guys are focusing on the wrong problem. You need to make sure these kinds of services work across your service, and then you have a definite customer. And so they were going to pick up everything. They're going to go back to their office. They're going to spend the next whatever it takes to verify that they can use any of these services, VPN services.
It doesn't
at the moment.
Yeah.
But they're working on figuring out how to make one of these things work, because it's very clear that's what we want from our internet connection. So I hope, hopefully, within the next few weeks or so, we're going to start seeing some kind of solution come
out
of
it. I'll raise my voice.
Yeah,
to help. The more complaints.
Keep going, girl.
Anyone that's with TCS right now should have their WhatsApp and just be asking them, hey, is there any word on my ability to use a VPN across this or use a DNS redirector with this? Just to keep them on it, because that's got to be a selling point in this area.
So everybody's talking about what might be or whatever. So bottom line, cost efficiency right now, what's the best in the West here?
Well, where are you located?
Tekeli.
At Tekeli. Where in Tekeli?
Yeah.
Near the pool.
So your only option is Telmex.
True.
Yeah.
But they're bringing in. They're bringing in Mega Cable. There.
Okay. Well, then you'll have that as an option. You should talk to Gary. He's been on Mega Cable, off of the main road, and you've had up and downs with that experience,
well,
right?
It works really well, but just cooked up once in a while, and you try to get some service about it.
And for days at
no
time?
No money to talk to, 6 days, 7 days.
I had it for years, and never had any problems with it.
Yeah, you know, Chester, you were located on the main drag into town right after the Big Rock. Charlie's Rock, the Big Rock, Thrifty's. Chester was just about across the street from Thrifty's on the water. And he had consistently great connections with Mega Cable.
And Telmex.
And Telmex, yeah.
Just closer to the centers, but they're proposing to put their connections right through the whole Tekka line for Mega Cable.
Yeah, I think that would be good.
Yeah, that would be good, especially a brand new installation.
Yeah, right.
Because the problems we suffer from are quite literally corrosion, loose connections, weather getting into boxes.
So you think new would just be better.
New would be better. Yeah,
my Telmex is great. Like 19. Until the wind blows. If you get a real strong wind, I'm down to 2.
Wow.
You might need to... You may need to get your phone line tensioned up. And with Telmex, that's not an unusual thing to have to do every year. Every year you may have to call Telmex and make it clear you're having issues with your phone line because you lived through the monsoon season and your phone line. I've been fortunate; it always blows my phone line down, and so they have to come put it back up.
Are you helping?
I had one year. The wind blew it down, and it was literally draped on our cars in our driveway. And I didn't want to call him because it was the best internet connection I'd ever had. I mean, it took me a long time to make that phone call. I don't want you messing with my internet connection. It took the phone being messed up for me to call them. The phone had some garbage across it. Internet was beautiful. And the DSL lines, that's very possible. I've been in the box now with the Telmex guys, and the internet and the phone are two separate things that run across the same cable. And it's literally routed through two different routes to get internet on your phone line. So it's very possible for one to fail and the other one to be working great.
So it splits it.
Yeah, it's taking from two different sources and pushing it down the phone line to your house.
Okay.
And then, like in my situation, what you've got from your house to the pole to the box has, it may go to another box. The final box will have an internet device and the phone circuit, and so you will route through the internet device. So you'll take this one cable and you'll route it through an internet device, and then you'll have that one cable split into two different paths, going through the internet and going through your phone circuit. So it's possible for the box, for the internet circuit to be bad, the circuit to your phone to be bad. It's possible for, if there's another box, to have it bad in that section. It's possible for it to be bad on the post, and it's possible for it to be bad at your house. And anytime the wind blows, anytime the rain comes, any of those connections could have a problem.
Is that true DSL? Because DSL is supposed to be pretty fast.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. That's how DSL is physically located.
Yeah, it's
that's how it's set up. And so those are all the different junctions that could be bad in a DSL connection. Cable, it's long lengths of cable until you reach a splitter, but it's looped through your neighborhood. You are getting onto it like you would get onto a highway bypass. You're getting onto the cable. Every connection is getting onto the cable. So those connections have to stay taut. They have to stay clean. The wind blows those around again. I know you're not a nerd like me, but I drive through town and I see the cable lines running on the power lines. I see the phone lines running across the phone, and I can see areas where, oh, I bet they're getting bad internet right now, right after a storm. It's like, oh, look at that. It's just barely hanging off that post. I bet those people are complaining about internet right now.
I have a question.
Yeah, Bob.
does everybody that have a phone here use the phone here in Mexico?
I just use my cell phone from the States.
Talking about landline?
Well, I'm talking about If you don't have a Telmex or Telcel account, you can still get the internet, correct?
If you don't, if you have a landline,
if you have an operating cell phone from the United States.
Yeah, but that's where roaming charges come in.
Yeah. We get,
but you don't have phone service down here.
Yeah, right. You could pay for it.
You can make a hotspot out of your telephone.
Yeah.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
Yep.
But all this is dependent on your cell contract.
Yeah.
Right.
Like you would want a North American plan contract
Pay extra.
Yeah, we have T-Cell, or what is it?
T-Mobile.
T-Mobile. And it won't cut me off when I'm downloading data. It'll get very slow.
Okay, well, tell...
No, I'm sorry. They charge me $5 if I go over.
Okay. Okay. My real question is, I have a cell phone that I don't have service down here, and I want to know if I can send pictures, and how do you send pictures from your cell phone to the internet? Now, that's such a basic question that most of you all know.
Mm.
I don't know.
Well, I think it's a good question, yeah. And it's part of what I covered in that Smartphones for Dummies presentation.
I'm sure. Yeah.
I'd get all of you to look into this. You have a sharing option in all your equipment. There's sharing in Windows 10. There's sharing in the Macintosh. There's sharing in Android. There's sharing in iOS. There is a unique icon in the apps that you use. It looks different depending on your platform. But in the end, what it does is it opens up a selection of places that you can share to.
Right.
And so if you're looking in a gallery of photos, you can pull up a photo and you can use the sharing icon, and it'll bring up a list of all the different places you can share it to. Now, many times what's in that list include share to email, copy, like you want to copy it from this and put it into another application, printer, if you want to send it to a printer, you'll find it in the share to many times. But then it'll also list all the apps in your device that support the sharing from this program. So you're in your gallery and you want to share it to Messenger. Like you're on Facebook Messenger. So you'd pick that and then you'd pick the person you're going to share it to. Or you're in your gallery with your picture up and you want to share it to WhatsApp because that's listed there. Now, one thing that people probably aren't aware of is sometimes you pull up to share and the app or service you want to share to isn't listed. And what that typically means is you haven't given that app permissions to use storage on your device. That's what that typically means. Say I bring up my gallery and there's a picture I want to send to my wife on WhatsApp and I pull up the share and WhatsApp isn't one of the options. Even though I know it should be. There's a very good chance I've misconfigured WhatsApp, or there's this big push right now to be as secure as possible, to not leak information. You may have gone through your security settings and started revoking access from these applications. You might have revoked the storage access from WhatsApp, which means you can't give it anything from your gallery. Because it's stored in the storage of your phone or your tablet. And so you have to go back into your security and you have to give that app access to the storage.
How many people in this group went to your presentation?
There was a bunch of people there.
How about doing it for the club here sometime again?
Yeah, maybe. I'm still working on the video. I'm about two-thirds of the way done putting the video together. So that you can watch that on YouTube.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just keep getting distracted by visitors.
would sharing through Bluetooth be entirely separate from that?
Sharing with Bluetooth be separate from that? You know, sharing with Bluetooth is available. It would be separate, and I don't think it's a real topic anymore.
I mean, like my camera will send a Bluetooth to a tablet or to my computer.
That's right.
And I was wondering if the cell phone Bluetooth would send a picture to your computer sitting next to it.
You know, it's a different kind of sharing. And that's why I say it's just not a thing we're doing anymore. In fact, it reminds me, Bluetooth sharing was a thing before we started having a sharing standard. And you could bring a Bluetooth device to a Bluetooth device, and you could do things like share contacts or send a picture over, things like that. And it's just fallen out of favor. It's just not the way things are being done. And there hasn't been any progression in developing that sort of, that style of technology.
Is that a special kind of camera?
Well, it's a modern camera. Modern cameras have Bluetooth sharing.
Bluetooth as well doesn't have a lot of bandwidth. And so nowadays when you have pictures that can be so many megapixels, you wouldn't want to send it through Bluetooth. It would take forever to get there. Whereas we have Wi-Fi standards that are much faster than that, or cable standards that are much faster than that for transferring stuff.
So are you saying that Bluetooth is just going to go away?
Oh, it'll never go away. No. Bluetooth was and still is a cable eliminator technology. And so as long as you're trying to go wireless, you're going to have Bluetooth.
With cars, you use Bluetooth between your cell phone and the car.
That's right.
That's correct.
And we have Bluetooth audio standards, like our headphones that are all Bluetooth, and that's just getting to be a higher quality.
Standalone speakers.
Hearing aids are Bluetooth.
Standalone speakers.
Yeah. I mean, Bluetooth really suffers from one of those, it's like a solution looking for a problem. Back when it was put together, it was like we were doing it because we could do it, but nobody knew how we were going to use it, and so they projected that we would have Bluetooth printers and Bluetooth keyboard and mouse and Bluetooth monitors, and none of that came about. And the mouse and the keyboard standard became a standard mostly because of Macintosh, because of Apple, because they wanted to put a screen on a desk with no wires in the workspace. Right. And when they did that, it was such an elegant design that it got copied in the industry. And so it became this thing that people wanted. But
over there.
What's going on?
Scott, are you aware that WhatsApp has a computer, a web solution?
You mean where you can go and do WhatsApp?
On my computer. Yeah,
on your computer.
Yeah, I finally figured out how to do it.
But. Yeah, yeah. We've actually talked about it a bit because it's one of the options in the Opera web browser. I actually, that's one of the reasons I've enjoyed using Opera, is because I can set it up for, what did you just say?
WhatsApp?
Facebook Messenger. I want to say Twitter, but it's not Twitter. What else is it? Let me open it up. There's a number of different options, and what I like about it is you don't have to install, that's it. I was thinking of Telegram. So there's Facebook Messenger, WhatsApp, and Telegram are all integrated into the web browser.
Okay. Yeah.
And so you can hit all those messengers and some other features without having to install those individual applications, all with just installing the Opera web browser.
The other thing is Huawei. How do you say that?
Huawei?
Huawei. I set it up so it shared with my computer so I can easily transfer photos back and forth.
Yes. Yeah, in fact, that's been a solution I've used with other people that have adopted to WhatsApp. Now, if you're using WhatsApp on the computer, it needs to sync with your phone in real time.
Every time you use it.
Every time you use it. It has to be... it works wonderfully, but what it does require is your phone has to be online at the same time your computer's online. And so, and if you want to avoid data charges, you want to make sure it's on a Wi-Fi connection, so that you can share that information back and forth. But what's really nice is that when you're using a WhatsApp client on your computer, you can pull from your gallery or your documents. You can pull all these assets out of your computer and dump them into WhatsApp, and the person receiving can receive on their phone, their tablet, however they're using WhatsApp. It makes a hub of communication between you and whoever you're talking to. And it's created an encrypted channel between whoever you're talking to. So those documents, pictures, are not being stored on any server out there. They only exist on your device and their device.
But
But the other person has to have it also.
They have to have WhatsApp. They don't have to have it on their computer, but they have to have it on their device. But they do, because that's the reason you've chosen this as the media for exchange. That's the that's one of the criterias before you move that direction. I also was trying to solve a problem for a customer, and we started out with Opera. And the problem, we came across the problem at the, I'm sorry, at the moment I can't remember what the problem was we were trying to solve. Okay. And we went ahead and installed the WhatsApp version. Like, you can go to the Windows Store and you can download the WhatsApp Windows 10, or you can go to WhatsApp and download the Windows 10 app. What I learned was it's the exact same app as the version that's included in Opera. It's the exact same code base. The whole experience is exactly the same as the individual app. And so there was no solution to be found in the app, because whatever wasn't working in Opera is still not working in WhatsApp, because there's no difference between the two apps. They are identical in every way. It's they grabbed the code base and just integrated it into WhatsApp, like they made this sandbox and they put all the same toys in it.
I have a silly question.
Good.
What is what is interrupting our service in front of Lays when we have XM Sirius radio on? It gets interrupted right there in front of Lays every time.
Where? In front of Lays?
In front of Lays? That's interesting.
I mine doesn't
do it, but if I drive north and south, then I get, like, this street right here. I lose it coming down past the hotel.
I don't lose mine.
Keep in mind it's satellite. Yeah. So it is still line of sight.
Maybe, yeah. Well, what is up there interrupting it? Because it must be some tower.
Wait, it is line of sight. I mean, it is, like, you wouldn't expect your radio to work in a tunnel.
It does.
Right. Well, I guess we go through a little tunnel there.
Yes, I put it.
So, what I can relate it to is satellite TV in Alaska, where the satellite is so far off on the horizon that if you pop behind a large building, you would lose your satellite TV. There are places in Anchorage where they can't have satellite TV because there's a hill. Because it's so low on the horizon that you can't get to it.
Well, you see, we had satellite. We had it also in our other car. This is a newer car.
Yeah.
And it didn't do it with the other car. But it's this year it's doing it.
Is it a shorter car?
It's lower, yeah.
There you go.
Sounds like it's the antenna in the car.
Yeah,
that's
what I would guess. I would guess that it's the antenna, the kind of antenna that's used on your new car. That's right.
Rabbit ears.
Rabbit ears. You need a coat hanger.
Coat hanger.
Remember to get from the rabbit ears.
Yeah.
To work down here.
What was worse was when somebody had to hold on to one of the rabbit ears. They had to stand by the TV in order to get the reception.
Guys, I got to shut this down, but just very quickly, anybody on Windows 7?
Yes.
You're on Windows 7?
Yes.
Okay, it is dying next year. This is the last year of any kind of security support for it.
You're going to have to get with it.
Normal people should be looking at Windows 10. You're okay, Bob.
We have down here
that's on Windows.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate place to be, because your computer could be working just fine with Windows 7, but you will start getting security holes that will not be fixed.
I thought that banks and other businesses use Windows 7 still extensively.
Well, you are welcome to pay the service fees that they are paying to Microsoft for the additional support. I don't recommend it. I would rather just buy a Windows 10 license. But you can buy service and support from Microsoft, and that's what corporations are doing.
Okay. Corporation must feel
it's kind of
it's
like XP.
Worthwhile economic.
Exactly like XP. It's going away.
XP is still being used.
You can still use it at your own risk.
Well, Jim said that there is still a way of getting Windows 10 for free if you have Windows 7.
He did say that. I haven't verified that. We should verify that at some point. What was I going to say, though? About this topic, you're losing support. Oh, okay, so you're in a weird place if your computer's working just fine with Windows 7 because you're going to start getting security holes. You're either going to have to be responsible for that. Go to Windows 10. Your computer may not run great on Windows 10. You may have to buy a new computer just because you're changing your operating system. Or you may be going to Linux, depending on your skill levels and interests. Linux is a decent alternative. You could use an Ubuntu installation.
Okay, so the Mathilas that you're working with do not use Windows 7?
To be fair, I haven't been working with a Machila for the last year.
And, oh, really?
But the last one I was working with was just going from Windows 7 to Windows 10. So they were making the transition. But there are large organizations that can't afford to do that quickly. And they've been doing it for years. They've been moving sections of their organization. And they will pay for extra support to keep going. There's also internal applications that are always getting built in large organizations that will not be Windows 10 compatible. And until they can make those changes, they'll pay the service fees from Microsoft to keep it secure.
There's certain programs that can't be upgraded or whatever. My friend and I are still using XPs.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So maybe I'll have to buy a new computer instead of my 15-year-old one?
Yeah.
You've got a computer that's still operating at 15 years old?
I keep refurbishing it.
Yeah. Okay. It's probably got new parts in it, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Gracias.
So, I have a question.
Yes.
In regards to those 800,
In regards to the 800 numbers?
Yes.
Okay.
Making the calls from here?
Yes.
And you gave us those ones that replace the different ones?
Yeah.
But do those work on the hard line numbers? Or
as
on
well.
The cell phone?
They work on both.
Well, I've tried some of them, and it doesn't work.
It should work. The
do you
dial
plus and then the one, right?
Plus zero.
Good. Plus one, if you're on the cell phone, you dial plus one,
right.
And then the corresponding code for that 800 number.
But do you also do the one that they had on it originally, like the 1-800, so on? So
no.
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 You just do the 800 one?
That's right. You
without
do
the one.
Well, it's the same one that you're talking about. You just put a plus in front of it.
Oh, I see. I see. So you just
hold down
do another
zero.
One.
You don't do another one. That's the one we're talking about. On the landlines, you would dial 001. You dial the prefix that gets you to the states. I think it's 001.
Okay.
Yeah, and then...
And then a plus one?
No.
Or not?
There is no plus
just
on the landlines.
Dial the regular 800
the
number?
The 00 is like the plus.
Okay.
The 00 on a landline is like the plus on a cell phone.
And so if you were dialing the 800... You
then you put one?
Yep, and then the corresponding 800... Well, or the whatever area code you're calling in the States. What Gary's asking about is... dialing 800 numbers correctly from here that are in the United States.
Yeah, I'm using a VPN and an 800 number.
Well, I don't have a VPN.
Why would you use a VPN? Are you using Skype?
No.
Yeah, I don't think a VPN would affect it at all.
No, but it puts me in Seattle.
Oh, it makes your phone think it's in Seattle, so it dials it like you're in Seattle?
Yeah, that would make
a difference. You know, this is the thing, is that for years, in the Android platform, the iOS platform, they have had dialing helper applications happening in the background. And they look at where your phone is, and they look at your contact, and they change the dialing to reflect the correct dialing.
They have done that on my Verizon phone, but the 800, for some reason, and I have that Mexico plan,
yeah,
but I can't... I can't dial a regular 800 number.
Well, the best advice I can give is in your contact lists, put plus +1 for the American numbers, put plus +52 for the Mexican numbers, and then it doesn't matter what country you're in, the phone knows how to dial it.
Okay, I'll give it another try.
Yeah, and just make sure that you've got the right corresponding.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
800 corresponding numbers. Any? Yeah, Paul.
What's annoying with my phone is that there's more than one way to transmit a message. One is messengers and are messages, and the other is message.
Yeah.
And so if I try to do it, it says, "Don't you want to consolidate everything into messages?" And if I say yes, then the next time I try to use it, it says, "Don't you want to consolidate everything into messenger?"
Yeah.
I've dealt with that on my Huawei, and I finally eliminated the other messenger. I never found a good solution for it. What it is Google has released a messenger that they're trying to encourage people to use, and I have the exact same experience. Every time I go into one, it tells me to use the other. I finally just removed it and went with the one that came with the phone.
Okay, so T-Mobile provider.
Yeah, that's the only...
Because the Facebook is the other one. There's just too many ways to... I'll get my thing and go ding, 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 and I'll look for the incoming message, and there's too many sources.
Well, and Facebook shouldn't be in that. That Facebook Messenger isn't part of what we're talking about. It is the ones that replace the SMS Messenger, that traditional phone messenger that does that. It's which one are you going to be using?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can keep it straight. Like, as a tech person, I kept it straight for a long time, but it just pissed me off after a while. I'm like, no, I hardly ever use this kind of messaging anyway, so I'm just going back to the default. I'm done with this. Google is going to have to solve that issue if they expect people to move over to it. Google, for years, has been trying to make a messenger that will do the same kind of experience that iMessage does on the Apple phones, where they integrate this robust messenger experience right alongside this archaic 20-year-old protocol and bring them into the same place. And they just have not been able to do it. All right. Well, guys, thanks for showing up. I hope you guys are here next week when we meet again for the San Carlos Computer Club. That will be here at Tequila's with me, Scott Stimson, from International Computer Solutions. If you have computer issues anywhere on the Internet, I hope you get a hold of me at internationalcs.net, scott@internationalcs.net, and give me a chance to be your solution provider. If you're interested in recordings like this, well, we put them up on the Internet for posterity. You can find references to it from the Computer Club's website at sccclub.org. If you're looking for a fast, easy way to get to our YouTube channel, just type in youtube.sccclub.org. It'll take you right to our YouTube channel. I guess that's it for this week. If you have any computer problems or issues, get a hold of me. Otherwise, I'll plan on seeing you guys next week in the same place at the same time. Until then, keep calm and tech on. I'll talk to you later. And stop dreaming. And I'm almost off. And stop streaming.